You're listening to KC Forum with Kathy Quinn, public affairs with an entertaining spin.
Good morning, everyone. This is Kathy Quinn, and you are listening to KC Forum right here on this radio station. Every single Sunday between 6:30 and 7, you got to tune it in because we have all sorts of stuff that we talk about. And if you happen to miss a show and you go, wait, I want to hear that, go to fox4kc.com/KC Forum because that's why it's KC Forum. Yeah. So you can listen to it every single week right after we air the show on Sunday morning right there on Fox 4. All right. What are we going to talk about this weekend? How about Hard Luck Hounds, the rescue, rehabilitation, and adoption of Missouri's homeless pets? Yeah, we're going to talk about it. I mean, a doctor in Grandview and her crew, her staff, they are just wonderful with these dogs and cats. And then how about the interest rate on the homes? It's not been this low in 50 years. Yep. John Moffitt from Coldwell Banker is going to talk to us and tell us, hey, if you're in the market for a home, this might be a good time to check it out, but you have to do your homework first. And speaking of homework, we have Miss Sherry Foster on the line. And Sherry, you've got a big title. Tell me your big title.
Ridiculous, actually. It's vice president and executive director. Pretty much I just do everything.
you do everything. Okay. For the Children's Vascular Anomaly Foundation.
Yes, it's the Wehner Children's Vascular Anomaly Foundation. We call it Wehner Kids for fun, short.
Okay, Wehner Kids. How did you get involved in the Wehner Kids?
My daughter, my youngest child, her name is Rachel, was born with vascular anomalies, and they're called hemangiomas. People often refer to them as birthmarks, or they're like raised red. I think the most common terms could be angel's kiss or strawberry birthmarks. But in Rachel's case, as are 10% of the hemangiomas that children have, are life and organ threatening.
And so you wouldn't, Rachel, and you wouldn't know that, Sherry. You know, you, for instance, let me just ask you this: the Russian president, was that what he had?
Yes, actually, Gorbachev has a port wine stain, which is a different form of a vascular anomaly on his forehead, and the kind that he has actually wouldn't grow to interfere with his normal functionality. But a lot of children who have port wine stains have them in different placements, like near their eye or their organs or even on their brain, and that can be life and organ threatening for them also. So there are, it's a basket, if you will, like a fruit basket of conditions that have been lumped in and called vascular anomalies. Each has their own pattern, but they're all vascular, and they all can be very serious.
You know, you don't know that, and until we get, you know, folks like you who come and tell us, all right, so you got to get to it right away. Like,
yes. Okay. Early intervention is so incredibly important. Our youngest daughter, Rachel, we were so blessed that she actually had her first surgery when she was 3 weeks old.
Oh, my goodness.
And when she was 3 months old, they removed a mass that would have most probably blinded her. And we also, in the very beginning stages, learned that she had a mass on the base of her brain that we thought was a hemangioma. She went on medication, and it resolved itself. And that itself could have, that could have also been damaging or life-threatening for her.
How do you know that this is what it is? Do doctors know pretty much about this condition?
You know, that's the difficult thing. Most medical professionals sit through maybe a 2 or 3 hour course when they're going through medical school about vascular anomalies. And most textbooks that are, you know, conservative for our own protection still teach that you just leave them alone, and when they're finished with the damage, you go back and you try with plastic surgery to correct what has happened. The problem with that is that now there are all these wonderful, very safe treatments out there where these children do not have to go through even the cosmetic effects if they're not experiencing a loss of you know, functionality of an organ, vision, breathing, airway involvement. But the most critical thing for that is to get to your pediatrician and to tell your pediatrician that you need help finding someone who specializes in it. No different than if you had a heart condition. You wouldn't have your general practitioner do your surgery. You would go to a cardiologist. With vascular anomalies, you can seek out, and there are probably five doctors in the United States who specialize in these conditions, and they see them every day.
And Dr. Wehner got involved because...
Yes, Dr. Wehner, we actually went to see Dr. Wehner. You know, I got what most parents do when they have a sick baby and they don't know anything about their condition. My husband and I spent hours getting what we call our internet MD.
Sure.
And overnight, God bless the internet. And anyway, long story short, I kept trying to read all these medical papers, and his name was on all of them. Or somebody would say, oh, you need to take your daughter to see so-and-so, and I would look them up, and they had trained under him. And through a personal connection, because he had a clinic for, he developed his practice in my hometown, which is Little Rock, I called out, and they said, bring your daughter out. And it turns out we were fortunate enough to be with what's considered to be, you know, the world-renowned expert, or the most leaning expert with the most experience in New York. And it was incredible. We had seen three or four specialists here in Kansas City that were very kind to us and tried, but we'd walk in and they would say, wow, I've never seen anything like that before.
Mm.
Which is not what you want to hear.
No.
and we walked into Dr. Wehner's office, and there were a lot of other children and parents sitting there in exactly the same boat that we were in. And he was the first one that put his hand on my shoulder and said, look, I want you to stop crying because I can help her.
Okay. You just gave me tingles, Sherry.
I know. It is. I mean, it still gives me. It's hard for me to say it without choking up. So, but 11 surgeries later and medication that Rachel was on for 18 months, she is a healthy, happy, well-adjusted little ball of energy. And Rachel's actually just turned 6.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah, it's a blessing. So every day we hear those little feet come in to say good morning, we are completely aware of how fortunate we are. And we want to share that with the community. We want to share that with other families. We want to give them the information that they need. We want to let them know that these resources are available to them. And so they can make informed choices, and they can know that there are choices.
We're talking to Sherry Foster, the Vice President, Executive Director of Wehner Children's Vascular Anomaly Foundation. And, you know, I was looking on the website just now. It's Wehner, WANERkids.org. And you can see what Sherry is talking about. It's not just a cosmetic thing, folks. I mean, this is what people think. Because we don't know that much about what you're talking about, Sherry. This is something that can damage, as you mentioned, an organ.
Yes, and the interesting thing is even through our own personal experience, you know, seeing the change happen, Rachel's face looked bruised when she was born, and then it turned bright red, and then the skin kind of begins to break down a little bit, and I was terrified of what other children might say to her when she's playing on the playground. Those are your first fears, because that's all you know about. Then when they start coming to you and saying, oh, we have to have you scanned because the likelihood is 90% that it'll be on the base of her brain or her aorta or in her airway. And you know what? It was in her airway. And it also is vascular, and their little hearts and their little bodies are not designed to circulate and to manage that extra amount of blood flow that can occur. And so then some of these children get congestive heart failure that they live with for the rest of their life, cardiac output issues. It's incredible what some of these families go through. And I will tell you that having a support group was a dream of mine when we were going through it, and I just didn't know, I didn't find anyone else. And so, you know, one of the things my husband and I really strive for with the foundation is to use it as a vessel so that we can have a family call us and say, I'm so frightened. My daughter has such and such on their lip, and I don't know what it means, and it looks like it's in her mouth. We can get pictures to Dr. Wehner, and he talks to them on email. And then we can also say, hey, you know, Johnny, I would like you to meet Susie, who also has a child with a similar condition, and they can just support each other. And it's a really important thing for these families to go through with someone else.
And what you're talking
and
about today,
scary.
And what you're talking about is saving a face one miracle at a time, and it's Chocolates for a Cure Gala, and this is on November the 5th, 2011.
The first initial reason to come to the event, of course, is because of support and what you can do for families. The Kansas City community has embraced this cause. They have helped over, gosh, I must have 600 different families that we've had connections with to help either support or financial resources for them to go and get treatment for their children. But it is an incredible event. It is an incredible outreach of, you know, doing something for someone else, and it is an immediate result. It's instant gratification. These people immediately receive help. And the reason we want them to come to the event is also to learn more about what goes on. Hemangiomas, one form of vascular anomalies, which is what Rachel had, happens to 10% of the population. That's a really large number. And the odds are you know someone who needs help or who doesn't understand their condition. So awareness, financial support, and then it is an incredibly fun event. It's based on chocolate. You walk in the door, there's a chocolate martini, live auction at the event. But it's a lot of good information, fun people, great food.
All right. Thank you very much, Sherry Foster. Good luck with the gala. We got more on the way. Stay with us.
Hang on. There's more on the way with Kathy Quinn and KC Forum.
I use Molly Maid because my house cleaning needs are different from my neighbor's. Only Molly Maid can give my home the pink glove treatment, a thorough deep-down cleaning plan designed just for me. Consistent and dependable cleaning with every visit. Molly Maid guarantees I'll be satisfied. Call Molly Maid and ask for the treatment, the pink glove treatment. Call 1-888-393-1879 and mention you heard this on KC Forum with Kathy Quinn to get $15 off your first cleaning. Why do I use Molly Maid? Call them and find out why. Call 1-888-393-1879.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to KC Forum. I'm Kathy Quinn, and I have John Moffitt Jr. on the line. He's the president and CEO of Coldwell Banker. How are you, John?
Great, Kathy. How are you this morning?
I'm doing very well. And you know what's on a lot of people's minds, and that's why I wanted to talk to you, interest rates, sales for homes, that type of thing. Just give us an overall, John, right now. What does the market look like right now? I mean, we hear doom and gloom and doom and gloom, and we want to go to the experts and find out. What do you think?
Well, definition of doom and gloom is, you know, one man's cup of tea is another man's poison. But right now, if you look at interest rates, you brought it up. We'll just talk interest rates real briefly. And a lot of rhetoric out there. But the lowest they've been for 50 years. So here's the greatest news ever. Mm-hmm. You can own a home today, for in most cases, and it's going to depend on your down payment, certainly, but you can own a home today for less than rent in a lot of cases.
Wow. And we're talking in fine neighborhoods, you know, not way over, you know, somewhere, because people might say, yeah, well, that's going to be way over on the east side on blah, 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 blah.
But if you look in the metro area, the average sales price for the most recent period we have, which would be the August data, September data will probably be out here early, maybe tomorrow, but the average sales price is $160,000 metro-wide, okay?
Okay.
Metro-wide. So if someone was in the marketplace for that and they could come up with 10% down, they could probably be in that for about $1,000 a month. So that same home in, you know, I don't know whether it's north, south, east, or west, but that same home, you're probably going to be having to rent that anywhere from $950 to $1,250 a month, just depending on neighborhoods.
Mm.
The stigma of the last few years, real estate bubble, blah, 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 you know, I think we all lose sight of one thing. This is your home. This is not stock. This was never really intended to be an investment like a 401k or IBM. This is people's homes. So why, if you're planting roots and settling down, being part of a community, why would you not buy when you could own it for the same amount as renting? You're looking probably, and it just depends, because these change a lot, and a lot of it depends on credit score and history and all that stuff. But probably on a 30-year loan, you're probably 4.25% maybe.
Wow.
And depending on your use the person, and on a 15-year loan, because some people like to get them paid off quicker, you're probably 3.75%. So, you know, that's the first house I ever sold in my career, which was over 30 years ago. I wrote on a Capital Federal loan, 1981, at 18.25%.
Oh, my goodness. What is the inventory like out there?
That's a great question. We like to look at inventory on two fronts. We like to look at the new home inventory and the resale inventory, because they're kind of two different animals, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the new home inventory has been steadily declining over the last 5 years. And if we had looked at 5 years ago, and again, August are the only statistics I have right here in front of me, but 5 years ago there was 4,943 new homes available in Kansas City. Today, August of 11, 1,312. And the reason that's down so much is, A, construction lending is way off. A builder just cannot get the kind of construction money, just isn't out there. So it's not necessarily that the demand is softened up that radically, but builders are just not able to replenish the shelves at all. And so that's a problem. Your resale inventory, 16,600 in 07 versus 15,100 today, that's down about 10%. So the good news in all of that is there's still an adequate supply of resale homes out there, okay? Mm-hmm. So there's still a good choice and a good available selection. New homes is down, and that means that if somebody's in the market, and you realize, Kathy, this is something I didn't know till a few years ago, but in the typical life of a U.S. citizen, less than 3% of the population ever buy a new home. So there's very few people that buy a new home.
We're talking to John Moffitt Jr., who is with John Moffitt & Associates, Coldwell Banker.
Well, we always encourage anyone to do this, think they're going to get into the marketplace. The first thing is sit down with a professional and look at the numbers. We're seeing a lot of people make crosstown moves, you know, but when I buy the other side, it'll offset that. So it's okay because, hey, I'm 5 years later and the kids are now 10 and 6. 5 years ago, they were 5 and 1. So now it's time to go ahead and make that move because I need the bigger house. So a lot of people that have been in timeout need to really look at it and not focus so much on where they are on their existing home, but where they're going to be on the entire move package, what happens when they get the next home. So the worst thing people can do is go out and start looking before they've done that, because and we see this happen from time to time, that somebody goes out and they kind of get excited and they kind of, you know, fall in love. They're like, okay, we're ready to do something. And then they get a hold of a professional. They find out it's not within their reach, and that's kind of a real bummer. What I think the easiest thing for anyone to do is they certainly can call any reputable real estate company, but ask a friend who's bought a home recently, or ask someone who owns, or maybe if they've been in their house 3 or 5 years ago, call whoever they worked with to begin with in the process. We certainly have three offices. We have an office in Blue Springs, Overland Park, and down the Crossroads, and each one of those offices knows that area. You know, the agents in the Crossroads probably are not going to be out working in the Blue Springs market, and Blue Springs agents aren't going to be in Overland Park. So somebody that's in the marketplace where they are is probably the best place to start. And on financing, kind of the same thing there. Is there anybody that they bank with currently that they could talk to their current bank that does mortgage lending? We've got about three lenders that we work with all the time. We send people to Coldwell Banker has its own mortgage division. That's a great place to start. You know, if you want to go to a website, go to a Coldwell Banker mortgage or Coldwell Banker online, and there's house searches there, and you can look at houses. But again, I think on something like this, it's good to sit down. Our initial consultation usually takes about 45 minutes. You got to feel good about it. And you said it earlier, people are scared.
They are. And you know what? You've helped us a lot. What I'd like to do is give out your email. It's jmoffitt@coldwellbanker.com. If they have any questions, they can email you.
I think if you look at those statistics we just talked about, and you look at the way rates are, and you look at recent articles just the other day, I think it was a week ago today, the Wall Street Journal had a big article in there. It's now time to buy that house. And it talked about other markets, Chicago, Atlanta, Phoenix, Washington, L.A., New York, the big markets. But the gist of that article was it's now time to buy. And one of the things it talked about is you can own for less than renting. So you know, ignore the sound bites we've heard. Ignore the media fear mongers. And talk to somebody that's in your market, in your neighborhood, that knows what's going on. And see if it makes sense for you.
Perfect. John Moffitt, thank you so very much.
Hey, Kathy, thank you. And you have a great day.
All right. We got more on the way. Don't touch that dial.
Hang on, there's more on the way with Kathy Quinn and KC Forum.
For over 20 years, Summit Lawn and Landscape has provided residential and commercial customers with exceptional quality and service at an affordable price. Summit offers a full landscape design service with two full-time designers. Projects can go from blue line scaled drawings to finished products. Proper design can make the difference between an acceptable yard and a truly breathtaking landscape. Landscape design, sprinkler systems, outdoor lighting, fire pits, and lawn fertilization are just a few of the many services Summit Lawn and Landscape offers. At Summit Lawn and Landscape, they know how important it is to maintain and beautify your exterior surroundings because your lawn and landscape is the first thing people notice. You can ask the pros at Summit Lawn and Landscape by calling 816-966-9434 to make an appointment or go to their website at summitlawn.com. Let the professional design staff at Summit Lawn and Landscape provide you with the landscape design and your dreams. That's Summit Lawn and Landscape, 816-966-9434 or online at summitlawn.com.
Okay, if you're just turning the radio on and you're saying, what am I listening to? This is KC Forum, Public Affairs with an Entertaining Spin. And if you guys have tuned in at all, you know how much I love animals. I love dogs. I love cats. And I know Dr. Abby Snyder does too because she is a veterinarian who runs an organization or helps it, Hard Luck Hounds. How are you, Doc?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Kathy.
Now, I met you, and I wanted to kind of explain, because of a Pay It Forward, one of the folks who adopted one of your little dogs, Tony, has Down syndrome, and he wanted to pay it forward to you for all the help that you had given him, and I'll probably start crying thinking about it, Doc. But one of your hard luck hounds, now these are animals. Describe, first of all, describe the animals that are considered hard luck hounds.
Sure. Well, you know, eventually I think that we landed with that name because our first dog that we acquired and then subsequently adopted out was a beagle, and we certainly don't limit ourselves in any way, shape, or form to hounds, but, you know, we really felt like, just based on, you know, where we're located in Missouri, we have, there's just a lot of dogs with immediate medical needs that are in shelters, and there's a lot of dogs that we were noticing coming to our attention that needed to be rehomed from breeding facilities. And they weren't perfect when we got them. And, you know, we just really wanted to, we felt like we didn't want to necessarily try to rehome dogs that were going to be easy to place. And there's a lot of variety, you know, of the pets that we come across every day, but we certainly come across more than our fair share of, we like to say, okay, this is a true hard luck hound, you know. we all chuckle when we say that, but sometimes they need that little nudge or that little boost, and those are the ones that it can really warm our heart to be able to provide that.
All right, so your first hound was Rocket, a young male beagle from Arkansas, and
yes.
Then it has skyrocketed since then. The one I'm talking about is Jude.
Yeah.
And Jude had all sorts of medical issues.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, Jude came to us in a group of dogs, and that classic, you know, I mean, so many of our dogs, when people say, where did that come from? You know, we kind of just, Southwest Missouri, you know, there's a lot of breeding facilities there, and a lot of those dogs do get funneled into rescue, and a lot of them get, you know, through multiple organizations in Kansas City, get put into, you know, great rescue organizations. But we got Jude with a group of dogs, and we were really kind of stumped when we got him, because we thought, okay, this may be beyond a hard luck hound. This may be something that we don't even know what to do next. He had, you know, he had some orthopedic issues. He had, you know, he had heart disease, and he had that look of just you couldn't help yourself when you saw him. It just, your heart melted, and in some ways your heart broke, because he had a lot of problems, and we just kind of started tackling him one at a time, but we realized, you know, these are not things that we're going to fix. And I didn't really pursue trying to find a home for him until one day I, you know, we decided to do that.
What happened? I mean, it was pretty quick, and it was almost like fate.
I think it truly was. I mean, I kind of just in desperation thought, you know, I mean, we love this dog, and he means so much to us, but maybe we could put him into a home. And just kind of on a whim, we put it out there on Pet Finder. I think 2 hours later, I stepped out of the exam room because I was, you know, I mean, of course, working at the time, and stepped out and you know, met Jude's owner, was soon to be owner, in tears in my vet clinic in the hallway, because this dog had spoken to her, and it just kind of, it went from there.
Okay, so Tony is 29 years old. He's got Down syndrome, and he told his mom, I want a dog. And she said, well, I didn't know you wanted, you know, this type of a dog, a bulldog. And he said, I've always wanted one. And she goes, well, why Tony? And, you know, Tony's older, and he doesn't speak that much. He said, because it looks like me.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
Yeah, and yeah, that did it for us.
Okay, so they called us. So they emailed us to help out Hard Luck Hounds, which is an organization for where you adopt out these pets. Of course, you're at Grandview Animal Hospital. Dr. Abby Snyder is out there with Dr. Brad Twigg. They came to see this dog, and apparently, from what I understand, Tony didn't really know he was coming to see the dog. A bunch of people in the room, you guys let the dog out, and he went straight to Tony.
You know, I've witnessed it multiple times with Tony and Jude together, and they had a pose. I call it their pose, and they would go forehead to forehead, and you could just see the love passing back and forth. And you're right. Tony, you know, has said a total of 10 words to me, you know, since I've known him. But it's the actions and the interaction that they had with Jude. He didn't even have to talk. You know, the dog couldn't talk, and Tony didn't say much. But they didn't have to. You could just tell it was exactly what each one of them needed. And it was very, very powerful and awesome to witness.
And then, of course, he lasted less than a year. But now he has Judy.
Right.
He has Judy. All right. How can people help out Hard Luck Hounds? Because I know, Doc, a lot of it comes out of your own pocket.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it took me, I graduated 12 years ago, and I kind of have come full circle. I thought, I don't know if every veterinarian goes through this, but I went through thinking, I have to help these dogs somehow, and not homeless dogs or not dogs out of breeding facilities, but I mean, I have a facility, and I have resources, and I have medications, and, you know, there's a lot of pets in rescue that need access to, you know, cost-effective veterinary care, and it's difficult for them to get it. But I thought originally, okay, maybe I can take them all home with me. You know, my husband didn't agree with that, and that doesn't work for me, you know, and I mean, everybody that works for me has an example of a hard luck hound, whether it's a dog or a cat, because we just are in, you know, we just work in an industry where we fall in love with some of these animals and we want to bring them into our families. But so it took me a while, but I figured out that the best way for me to help out was, you know, to get a hold of some of these dogs and cats and do what we could, and then to, you know, put them out there into homes. And we have the added, you know, it's huge for us that some of these animals are adopted by our clients and we get to continue to see them. I mean, I think I've already seen three today, you know, that were former Hard Luck Hounds. Wow. And it just, they walk in the door and our faces light up because we know where they came from and we know what they went through. And now we get to see them and see how it's great for the pet and it's great for the owner. But I mean, you know, people can help out in a lot of different ways and not just with Hard Luck Hounds, but I mean with pet rescue in Kansas City in general, because there's a lot of people working hard. You know, and we just got our 501c3 designation, which was really significant for us to be, you know, classified as a nonprofit. And, you know, public, just social media, getting the word out there, I mean, helping to raise awareness that these dogs they're here and they're available and they're amazing. And all breeds, all ages, you know, whatever people want, you can find it.
And you can find out a little bit more about Hard Luck Hounds by going to your website, which is grandviewvet.com. You're right on the main street and
right.
Just so homey. I mean, I went in there when we were doing the Pay It Forward, almost took home a baby corgi, a little puppy. You had just gotten four or five of those in. But I think, yeah, you know, I mean, animals, that's your business. That's your lifeline and everything. But you're going, I think, above because you love them.
Yeah.
Not that everybody doesn't love them. I'm not saying that.
Right.
I'm just saying that you found this passion for these particular dogs and cats that are sick and need a little bit of extra help and may not be placed and may be put to sleep.
Right.
I mean, that would have happened to Jude, don't you think?
I do think so. You know, he was going to thrive in one particular environment, and he's one of those rare dogs that found the perfect environment for him. You know, and unfortunately, like, you're right, that doesn't happen all the time. But, you know, I mean, I think a lot of veterinarians feel this way, but, I mean, our clients are just, it's an extension of our family, and we really feel that way, and we think that they feel that way, too, and it's pretty amazing to be able to come to work every day and have that kind of experience. But,
that's neat.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I do hard luck hounds for very selfish reasons, but I have an amazing staff that, you know, they get behind it as well. And I know that I've brought a lot of joy to my staff by them participating and helping me with this. It's been beneficial. It's hard. It's difficult to work it into a full-time job, a busy, thriving veterinary clinic, to, you know, find time to do it for the other. But we always squeeze it in there somewhere. So
because you love them, bottom line.
We do.
That's it. And Hard Luck Hounds even has a Facebook page, so look them up.
Yes.
Dr. Abby Snyder, if folks want to help out, they can just email you?
They absolutely can, okay. Yeah. It's hardluckhounds@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook under Hard Luck Hounds.
All right. Thank you so much. I know you're busy, busy, busy. And do not call me if you have chihuahuas, because you know I cannot say no.
You know I can't say no to that either.
It's horrible. It's horrible. Thank you, Dr. Snyder, for all your good work. And thank you to all of my guests this weekend. Remember, this is KC Forum right here on this radio station and on fox4kc.com/KC Forum. Thanks to Megan Kelleher and to Ann Beckett. Also, Katie Connors, our executive producer, the elders allowing us to use their music for the bumper music, as well as Ed Walker getting us on the air. All right, that's it for us this weekend. We will see you again next Sunday. See ya.
It's KC Forum with Kathy Quinn.